doing?
Trying to figure out which computer is the most powerful.
Well, that's easy. The one with the most memory, megahertz, MIPS, you know.
No, I don't think so.
There we go.
I think the most powerful computer is the one that people actually use.
Macintosh has the power to change the way you look at computers.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's never played a drinking game. Why, you ask? Because drinking, it's serious business. Leander Caney is here.
That's right. I take it very seriously.
Also with us, his biceps are beautiful. His Apple pros, masterful. Buster Caney is here.
Oh, hey, what's Hey-o. Up?
And finally, last but not least, carries a horse whip at the Cult of Mac office. And if your keyboard keys aren't clicking, he's going to make you nay. Lewis Wallace.
Man, you got a cam in our office. You've been catching my management routine. That's awesome.
Tough but fair is what some people would say about you. Yeah, especially when you're whipping him with that horse whip, telling him to get to 1,000 words. Welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. We've got so many great stories to talk about this week. Don't you think, Leander?
Oh, yeah. We got tons of great stuff.
Top tier stuff.
We weren't desperate at all, yeah.
No, we weren't searching the internet frantically for all the best Apple stories this week, and it's definitely not a slow news week. Here's what we've got on the docket. We're going to be talking about Apple expanding their AirPods line. The AirPods are magical, mm-hmm. aren't they? We've been singing their praises for... I don't know what, 18 months now. I can't stop talking about them. People tweet me and they're like, please stop. Don't mention them anymore. And I'm like, I can't. It's completely compulsory. I don't even do it on purpose. Well, Apple is planning to expand that line with a pair of audiophile headphones with the AirPods Magic built in. We'll be talking about those. Here's an odd duck. Big story came out this week that said Apple is planning on launching their own line of wellness clinics for their own employees. But there's a twist in that it looks like Apple is going to be using these clinics to change the way people do healthcare and also to test their health kit devices. So we'll be talking about that. And then Lewis is going to tell us about all the strange gadgets unveiled at Mobile World Congress that just happened in Spain. Is this still going, Lewis?
I believe today might have been the last day.
And you might be wondering, what the hell is Mobile World Congress? I don't even know. So hopefully Lewis can fill us in on that too, because no one has any clue what we're even talking about when we say that phrase. And we're going to wrap up with a segment we haven't done in ages. But because it's a little slow, we were able to pack it in here. We're going to do an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, the segment where we ask each other questions and answer said questions. And we give information about ourselves that really most people probably just don't want to know. But if you're at all curious, stay tuned to the end. We got some very interesting questions. I think it's going to spark some excellent discussion. We'll do that at the end of the show. Before we dive into the first news story, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Do you want to turn your cool idea into a website? I think that you should. We need you to put yourself out there. We want to see your product. We want to see you sell products online. We want to see you promote yourself. We need you to build a website all about yourself and your products. You can do that so easily at squarespace.com. You can sell products and services of all kind. And I always say, if you're a college student, you have to have a web presence to market yourself to prospective employers, because it makes you look so slick, so professional, that you're going to win the job. You're going to be the one making $150K right out of college. This is the way to do it. Have a website. You can also promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you just finished juggling school. So many events you want to announce to the world. You can build it all by yourself, too, at squarespace.com and manage it with no help from anyone else, because they make it so easy. Their beautiful templates are easy to set up, and they will look great on any device that visits your website. Plus, you can customize them completely if you want and make your website look uniquely yours. If you're selling stuff, Squarespace now has Apple Pay integration, so you can get that cold hard cash from your fellow Apple lovers, and also built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer service. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. So if you're ready to get started, head on over to squarespace.com, sign up for a 2-week free trial, build a website, see how you like it, and if you want to continue your service after the trial, use code CULTCAST at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase of a domain or website at squarespace.com. Okay, first story was one that I got very excited about. Oh, very excited. This is the story about the audiophile headphones that may have AirPods Magic built in. So this is a solid story here. It comes from KGI analyst Ming-Chi Kuo. And he was saying that Apple is aiming to pivot its AirPods business into a set of Apple-branded over-the-ear headphones that effectively compete with its own Beats brand, which makes me raise an eyebrow.
Right, me
just
too.
One, very high, right? What are your thoughts on that, Leander?
Yeah, my eyebrow raised all the way up of my forehead and then the back of my head.
That's pretty high up, actually. Wow. Isn't it weird that they would compete with their own Beats brand? Do you think that Beats is going to stick around?
They've already done that with the AirPods, right? I mean, so it is a bit odd, though. When they put them out under the Beats brand, maybe the Beats brand is tarnished. I don't know.
No, I think Beats are still pretty popular.
Yeah.
Wait, it just came to me. So Beats is going to be the regular consumer-grade headphones, right? The stuff that you wear when you go on a run. I mean, the story tells it all. These are going to be audiophile grade. These are going to be the premium headphones.
Yeah.
The $600, $700, $800 headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess they're going to be $500. That is going to have the AirPods Magic built in. And he says that he expects them, well, at the earliest in Q4 of 2018, but it could be a while after that. He also talked a little bit about the AirPods in the past, that we are expecting a new version of AirPods to hit the market sometime, probably in the next 6 months. They're going to have always on Hey Siri functionality. So you could just say, Hey Siri, and, you know, change the track or what have you. And also, oh, hi Siri. Let's turn you off. And also, didn't I complain to you guys to turn your phones off before we started recording and then mine just went off? Well, my phone is on silent, but if you say the magic words, I guess your iPhone pays attention. And an interesting tidbit from his report, he said that the new case for AirPods is going to have wireless charging built in, which is something that we weren't sure about. So we thought that they were going to sell the case independently of the AirPods for an additional fee of like $70 or $80, which would have been insane, because there's no way I would have paid an extra $70 or $80 just to get some wireless charging capability in my AirPods.
Really? I was about to drop.
You were like, I'm buying two. I'm going to have one in my office, one in the car.
Well, I keep losing all my cases, so I do.
How many cases have you lost, really?
Two so far.
You're kidding.
And I ordered a replacement one from Apple. It cost about $85.
Oh, you lost two pairs?
Yeah, out cycling. I don't know. They must have fallen out of my pocket or something.
Oh, well, your spandex outfit is very slippery, isn't it? But I thought, like, bike pockets were everywhere on that outfit. Don't those guys have, like, pockets all over the place? It's ridiculous.
Well, I put them in this jacket pocket, and my phone fell out, actually, when I was bombing down this hill. I was surprised.
You're going so fast.
Yeah, it did. The thing bounced everywhere, and it's got this this wooden cover on it, like this glue-on wood cover.
Yeah.
That doesn't, I didn't think it would be that protective, but it totally protected the thing. I was really surprised. It's completely chipped now, but it worked, did a great job.
And do you still have the case on?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine going caseless. I used to do it. I've dropped my iPhone 10 so many times, I can't even count.
Well,
me too.
My
phone would be destroyed.
That's actually a good point. I mean, I've dropped it quite a few times now, and there's not a nick on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
You don't have a case?
Well, I've got this wooden protective wrap. It's, it's not a case, but it's glued on. It's like a wood veneer that has a.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, glue on it.
Yeah. Hmm. Do they actually glue it to your iPhone?
Yeah, and it wraps around the phone, and it makes it look like the phone is made out of wood.
Idea. I mean, that sounds cool aesthetically, but how would you get it off?
Well, you have to. I think you have to peel it off.
You just have to change the body of the iPhone. That's all.
Well, I said, but I was surprised at how protective it is. The thing's all nicked up, like the wood, it's missing some corners and has taken a bit of a beating, but the phone's perfect underneath.
Does it protect the screen as well? Like, does it jet out over the screen?
Well, it has a little bit of a wraparound on the screen.
Wow, that's great. And what was the brand of that? Because I remember you pitched it on a previous show.
I did, I talked about it before. Toast.
Toast.
They make all kinds of crazy ones. You get a wrap for your Apple Pencil. iPhones, iPads, MacBooks. They look really good. I'm being really surprised. This thing has stayed on. It hasn't come off. The glue's rocks. You know, in fact, the glue's probably a bit too good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you should do another review when you've tried to get it off your phone and you can't. You got to use a chisel. You're going to be selling it attached to your phone when you sell your iPhone. Yeah, I'm really excited about these headphones. I'm really excited about what Apple's music department is doing. I feel like it's the most innovative branch of Apple right now. They're creating cool new products that I personally love. I mean, first there was the AirPods, then there was the HomePod, and I would love to see them do a whole range of products from this same team. I want this team just to go nuts. Give us the HomePod Mini, the HomePod Pro, the AirPod Pro. I mean, whatever they want to do, I'm on board, because their first two audio products, I feel like, are golden era Apple products. They are things that would exist if Steve Jobs were here. Like, if Steve Jobs were to come back today and cut stuff out of the company, these are two products that would still, they would make the cut. Like, the Apple would continue to sell them, I feel like.
Say, I don't know.
Steve, I don't know. Ruthless. That's just my opinion. Yeah, all they'd be selling is the Apple LaserWriter, actually. Let's move on and talk about this very strange story. These Apple wellness clinics, Leander.
Yeah, right.
So tell us about the story.
Yeah, so this happened earlier this week, and it...
Do you want to just read the story? Just open the story and just read it.
Well, I've got the notes here. I'm going
to
read the notes.
But try to keep your voice completely monotone, okay?
Okay, don't actually...
Yeah, yeah.
Is that an airplane?
Ready when you are. Hey, what is that? Like a biplane? Or what are you broadcasting from? It's biplane?
That wasn't for me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was me. Okay. I live by an airport.
Sounds like the Red Baron is flying over. Three pizzas. Okay, go ahead, Leander.
All right. So, yeah. So, Apple plans to launch new wellness clinics that will offer employees and their families, quote, the world's best healthcare, unquote. It's called AC Wellness, and they'll be independently operated, according to its official website. But job listing suggests it's a wholly owned Apple subsidiary. One of the clinics will be situated inside Apple Park, the company's Cupertino headquarters. So Apple has started recruiting for two AC Wellness clinics in Santa Clara, California. And they will initially serve Apple employees and their families when they open this spring. But Apple has much bigger plans, according to CNBC. Quote, aside from the typical roles involved with a primary care clinic, Apple is also looking to hire designers who will help implement a program focused on preventing disease and promoting healthy behavior, end quote, reads the report, which cites people familiar with the plan. And then there's another quote. Sources said the company will leverage its medical clinics as a way to test out its growing range of health services and products, which is starting to roll out to consumers at large, end quote. So, yeah, that, I think, is a key point. Don't you?
What do you think, Buster? They're going to be playing on... releasing medical devices.
Is your name Buster?
Did you say Buster?
Well, there's been like rumors that Apple was interested in doing like some medical care services for a couple years now or so, right? Even and then also research kit. They've been doing stuff. So I don't know. I think that could be pretty cool if they open it up to like the public in the future. That could be super interesting. And that's a market that I don't think a lot of people have speculated that Apple wants to take over.
Well, yeah, but you know, anyway, Lewis, what do you think?
I think it's kind of fascinating. It's you know, we were saying the other day, it's kind of like old school throwback to like when you know, Kaiser started. You know, it was a shipbuilding company, and they started these. You know, that's how Kaiser Permanente
really?
Got started. Was a like a private in-house healthcare situation.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I think this fits perfectly with Apple's plans. I mean, they've got HealthKit, they've got ResearchKit, they've been doing stuff with this all the time, and this is sort of a way, I think, for them to beta test their right. Products. And you know, I mean, there's all kinds of rules and regulations and also concerns, right, when you got healthcare things going on. But it sounds like they're really going to have a focus on preventive healthcare, which is what, you know, according to everybody, that's like the smartest thing, right? Like, don't get ginormously fat and you won't have all these other
diabetes,
problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of I was a little bit astonished when I read this story, but to me, it makes perfect sense.
Efon, what do you think?
Well, let me tell you what I think. So several
I can
things.
Hear you jumping at the bit there. You're dying.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many tidbits in here. So first of all, they're calling it the AC Wellness Plan, which I heard they're going to have two levels of plans. So AC, I think it stands for Apple Care. So Apple Care Wellness. There's the regular Apple Care Wellness plan, which covers like, your day-to-day health care. And they're also going to be offering an Apple Care Plus health plan, right, which will offer accidental damage. So if you fall off your bike or something and break your arm, they'll repair that for free. There will be a deductible, fall in the toilet, of course. Yeah. Exactly. I think this is incredible. It's amazing to see Apple head this direction, and I would be interested to see if they'll be releasing this to the public or not just, you know, using it for their own employees. You know, in Chinese medicine, the lowest tier doctor is the guy who actually takes care of the sick people, and the well-respected high-tier doctors are the guys that prevent illness in the first place. Those are the guys that are most respected, right? Because a good doctor in Chinese medicine is the guy who prevents you from getting ill in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if you've gotten ill, it's because your doctor has failed you and not helped you avoid that illness. And so it's cool to see Apple going against Western medicine and trying to help their employees actually stay healthy, as opposed to treating them once they've already gotten sick. And then often in many cases, there's not a lot you can do for someone once they've gotten diabetes or had a heart attack, right? It might be too late. And I think this is something that's sorely missing from Western medicine is actual health care and not sick care. Because what we have in this country is sick care. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Apple is going to go the other direction. So I think this is incredible, actually. I think it's exciting, too.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, it reminded me of when they were going to open up stores and Steve Jobs had a prototype store built in a warehouse, secret warehouse near Apple headquarters.
Like an Apple store?
Or yeah. Uh-huh. And they did the same with the cafeteria for the new Apple Park. You know, they built a prototype cafeteria in Cupertino. Mm-hmm. And they also built, you know, prototype sections of the store of the campus in order to work out like the seating plans and the open plan, the interior of the Apple Park campus. You know, they prototype everything they do, and I think this is part of their prototyping plans for wearables for the Apple Watch, for gathering data. And like you said, it's trying to change the focus from sickness care to health care, to proactive health care, and I think it indicates the product roadmap for the Apple Watch, which has become much more of a sort of, health maintenance device.
I have to admit, the cynical part of me is like, really, Apple's getting to another area? I wish they would just focus on making better Macs,
This is the big debate, isn't it, about what comes after the iPhone, what can Apple possibly get into now that's going to be as big as the iPhone? And the two world's biggest industries by revenue, mm-hmm. Transport and healthcare. They're two really gigantic industries, and I think this is obviously why Apple's looking at them both.
Especially in the U.S., think how much money is spent on healthcare every year. I hate even calling it healthcare because I feel like that's a misnomer. It really is not healthcare. It's sick care, so it's cool to see that Apple is focusing on a different area. Anyway, let's move on a little bit and talk about the iPhone AX Camera Buster.
Dude, it's so good.
Dude, it's so good, isn't it?
It's so good. It beats everybody else.
Again. I feel like we report on this every time a new phone comes out.
That's true. But I thought what was interesting, Consumer Reports, they came out with like their ranking of the top smartphone camera lists. And I thought it was interesting that Apple dominated like the top six spots. I think five of the top six spots.
Yeah, right.
And basically the entire top 10 chart was all Apple and like two Samsung phones, I think.
I know. I was surprised the Pixel wasn't in there.
Yeah, right. Because everybody said it had amazing photo quality and was better than the iPhone, right?
Some people.
That's
say,
what I heard a lot of people saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of these tests are subjective. I think. Like, there's some camera tests came out. I think today with like the S9, and people are saying that one's better than the iPhone 10. So I don't know, like it's all subjective, I think, really. But I've been pretty happy with my iPhone 10 camera.
Well, there you go, there you have it.
Yeah,
my iPhone 10 camera. I said this a few shows back. I don't know if it's because the screen is HDR.
Oh.
But the photos that come out of the iPhone 10 are unbelievably good. I can't believe they came out of a phone. They're so good, and the dynamic range on them is so good and creamy and. I can't believe it. I know it's redundant to say, well, it's my favorite phone, camera phone ever, because every new phone we say that, but I feel like this one is leaps and bounds better than any phone I've ever used before, in the year in which I used it. So I just think it's incredible.
Well, this Consumer Reports, it's kind of head-scratching why they left the Google Pixel off the list, because, you know, a lot of people have been saying that that was the best phone camera. Mm-hmm. And we saw, Lewis, what was that event we were at, Pepcom or something like that, where that guy had he was taking portrait pictures, and we were comparing them with the iPhone X, and they really did look fantastic. They looked amazing. So it's a bit of a head-scratcher why Consumer Reports left the Pixel off.
I have to admit, Consumer Reports really tarnished their record in my mind when they said that the Google Max speaker defeated the HomePod in sound quality.
Right.
To me, I was like, they're out of their minds. They're out of their minds. There's no, they've lost it over there. I don't know what they're smoking over there, but there's something going on over there, because they're coming up with winners of these product categories that are contrary to what everyone else who's testing this technology believes. So it kind of makes me think, I think the iPhone cameras probably are really good, but maybe there's something they left out. Like maybe the Google Pixel should have been in there, but they didn't include it for some reason. I just don't know if I can trust Consumer Reports anymore.
Right, yeah.
I don't trust their judgment.
Well, they've got a mixed record. I was looking back through the archives, all the stories we've written about Consumer Reports, and, you know, because I think some Apple fans think they have an anti-Apple bias. Do you guys, have you got that impression?
Probably because from, what was it? Bendgate, wasn't that
right,
when
right.
they really like panned the iPhone?
And before the AntennaGate, actually sort of a Consumer Reports. You know, they're the ones who kind of got that whole ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So they've been hard on Apple in the past, and I remember, you know, when those stories broke, you know, a lot of people were like, well, you know, Consumer Reports is just anti-Apple, and you know, in those situations when, you know, like the HomePod against the Google Max, like when Apple doesn't get crowned the best, there's always complaints from Apple fans that they're biased. But I went back and looked through the archive, all the stories we've written, and it was like, you know, MacBook tops the in Consumer Reports, various iPhones top the Consumer Reports. You know, like they have crowned a lot of Apple stuff as the best over the years.
But calling the Google Max better than the HomePod, Leander? That is nuts.
Well,
have you heard the HomePod?
Well, I get this every time I go to Wirecutter, too. You know, you look at Wirecutter's recommendations, and you know, they're like the new Consumer Reports, you know, the Consumer Reports for the web. And I've heard this from a lot of people, you know, you know, a lot of the stuff they pick is just like, well, you know, it makes you scratch your head. It's like, that's just not true, you know?
Have you heard of Google Max, though?
I actually haven't had a Google Max.
It doesn't matter, Lewis. There's no way it's better.
Okay. True believer. I haven't heard one either, but I'm not going to say it's not, because I haven't.
There you go. I've never heard it, but they're completely wrong.
Yeah, I do want to hear it, but no one even carries the Google Max, because no one cares about it, because there's no way it sounds anywhere as good as the HomePod. Right. I wonder
maybe
if they have
it
at Best Buy. I should go in there and crank it up. So, did I tell you guys, just quick aside here, I went to a Best Buy recently. I had my daughter with me, and she's like 2.5. And she was playing with something I didn't see. And then all of a sudden, like this booming thunder of a sound came out of these speakers. She had turned on like some stereo that was back there in the back of the store. And everyone's looking at us, right? And I'm getting really embarrassed. I'm like, I got to go turn this thing off. So I go over there and I try to turn it off. And every time I touch it, it just gets louder and louder and louder. And I don't know how to turn it off. And like my face is turning red. I can feel it. I'm starting to sweat. And everyone in the store is looking at me. So I just grab her hand and we just booked it out of that store. I didn't even buy what I was going there to look for. I was like, I gotta get the hell out of here. And I could still hear at the front of the store. You know how big Best Buys are at the front of the store? I could still hear the thunder just going on in the back. I don't know how they turn that thing off, but I could not figure it out.
Is it a U2 song?
I don't know what it was, but I was too mortified to pay attention. I was just trying to escape the embarrassment. Okay, well, Lewis, let's talk about these weird gadgets at Mobile World Congress. And first, can you please tell us what in the heck is Mobile World Congress? I've heard you guys talk about it before. I don't even know what it is.
Why
is it called Mobile World Congress? Yeah. That's such a weird name.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Europe, so, you know, maybe it sounds kind of more egalitarian or something.
Okay.
I've never been to it, but my understanding is it's sort of like a Spanish CES, and it's just, you know, tons and tons of all sorts of products. It's not just mobile phones anymore. I think maybe it started out as mobile phones and things, but now it's all kinds of technology, just like CES. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure of the relative size, but, you know, it's people showing off their latest, greatest stuff. So
it's a big show.
Spain CES.
Right, and it's in Barcelona, Spain every year. And this year we have our guy who lives there in Barcelona, Graham Bauer, who usually writes about Apple Watch for us. If you haven't checked out his stuff on Apple Watch, definitely do, because he's the best person writing about Apple Watch fitness things that I've seen anywhere. So he went there, and he wrote up a couple things for us so far. One was he finally got to wear these things called Vuzix Blade AR smart glasses. And he kind of went into it going, why would I want to wear that? It seems like everybody's got like a Google Glass hangover, right? Because
he's not a glass hole, right?
Yeah, hey, high profile failure. but he got to try them on, and they blew him away, and it made him really excited about what Apple might do with AR glasses. You know, Apple's definitely interested in AR. Tim Cook can't stop talking about how interesting it is. So Graham writes, the Blade basically delivers on everything that Google Glass tried to do, but without sucking. I was skeptical about the rumors that Apple is developing its own augmented reality glasses, but what I saw through the lens of a Vuzix Blade showed me how far this technology has come and just how cool Apple AR glasses could be. And he goes on to talk about what it was like, and it basically gives you a head-up display in front of your glasses, and it could be used for things like directions. One of the things he said he would love to see in something like this, just start thinking about what it might do. Like, facial recognition, you walk into a party and maybe the name of the person that's over in the corner that you can't quite remember their name and where you know them from pops up into your field of vision. Things like that might make glasses like that really awesome. He also thinks they would be great for like notifications while you're out running. You know, he points out like Apple Watch, it's great for notifications if you're, sitting at your desk or something like that. But, like, if you're running or swimming, it's not so awesome. Not that you'd be wearing glasses when you're swimming.
And these glasses look just like normal glasses. That's one of the big selling points, right?
Yeah, they look pretty normal, as with Google Glass, the sort of temples are larger than typical because I'm sure that's where they got the battery and the processor and stuff. But, yeah, there's a picture on the website.
They look like 3D glasses, actually.
Yeah, there's they sort of look like sort of nerdy kind of cool
like dorky
glasses.
Goggles. Yeah,
they right. Look a little bit like those sports sunglasses too, right? I mean, they got a little bit of a chunky look to them, but
much cooler than the Google Glass, though. Okay, what else you got for us here, Lewis?
All right, so in addition to that, Graham also he. We sort of sit them there like, okay, Apple doesn't go to this show because Apple does its own thing, right? But one of the things we want to do is what else is out there that is going to work with the Apple ecosystem? So he wrote up a handful of HealthKit gadgets, new HealthKit gadgets that offer interesting new insights into your physical well-being.
Oh, yeah.
And, this going back to the Apple, what's it called, AC Wellness thing, their whole healthcare program, HealthKit is a pretty robust platform that they've built, and it lets all of these different kinds of products sync into one app. And, potentially you could just share this information with your doctor. I mean, you might be able to have a glucose monitor at some point that every day your glucose information is sent to your doctor and they keep tabs on you. So the devices that he looked at this year, new at MWC, monitor your reproductive health with, you're not going to believe this, ovulation and sperm testers.
Oh,
okay, great.
Yeah, way to start, right? Maybe we should have moved that to the end. anyway, one of them, the ovulation thing is, it tests your saliva and tells a woman when she's, potentially going to get pregnant. Or when she's, what's the word, fertile?
When she's ovulating.
Ovulating.
That would be game-changing, actually, if that actually worked accurately.
Well, that's the weird thing about this kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's sort of like, you're probably, it's never 100%, right?
So yeah, right.
It's a little, I think that these companies are probably, they're going to have to pitch those as like, here's the most likely time when you can get pregnant, as opposed to here's a time when you won't get pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how the sperm tester works.
Don't
know if I even
don't
care.
Don't be bashful. You should talk to your parents about that.
Oh, God. let's see. He's also written up something called the ReFit Cam Medi, And this is like a little tiny camera on the end of a stick that you can stick in your ear or, you know, wherever else you need to. And the other one plugs into your iPhone via a lightning cable. Oh, it's basically
kidding.
Like a, what?
It's like your own little orthoscopic camera.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know.
So you
it's
do your own colonoscopy?
You know, look up your nose and see if you got this, that,
and the other. Save us a fortune.
Yeah. Right. I don't know what the absolute most amazing use case for this is, but Graham writes that this type of product could prove incredibly handy for people managing a variety of chronic conditions.
Yeah.
Supposed to be available in the U.S. later this year.
Okay.
This is also a, you know, this is one of my favorite, smart pillow, right?
Yeah, because everything needs to be smart now.
Right, yeah, my sleeping is just too dumb. but, you know, it lets you adjust the angle using an iPhone app and monitors your sleeping and snoring, and all that data gets plugged into your health app through HealthKit automatically. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it, that's sort of like anything they could do to make all this data flow easily into that app. You know, it sucks if you have to like enter everything by hand, right? Or you have an app and it's not healthy. So, oh yeah, check this, and then at some point I transfer it. That's what's so awesome about HealthKit. You get these devices, they work, everything just populates automatically. You get a picture of your health. Another thing that he wrote about is the smart rope, which is a jump rope that is HealthKit connected somehow, so you can track your
That actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and apparently I did not click the video, but apparently it has LED lights in it, so that when you jump, it looks really wild. You know, so maybe you'll see this on stage at Lollapalooza, or
and you
something.
Can see how many like skips you've done.
Yeah,
jump ropes. What are they called? I'm not familiar with the vernacular. I've been jump ropes in sixth grade.
Let's ask Muhammad Ali. and last thing he wrote up for us this week was a beautiful thermometer that Johnny Ive himself might approve of. The Nokia.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Thermo.
Yeah.
And it's just a thermometer that makes it super easy to take your temperature and then also track it. You know, it's a minimalist all white exterior with a seamlessly integrated trackpad and display that enables you to select between up to 8 different users. Green and red lights indicate if your temperature is normal or if you have a fever. You know, you take a reading, instantly takes apparently 4,000 measurements using 16 sensors, give you this really accurate reading of exactly what your temperature is, and then it, boom, once again, syncs your body temperature wirelessly to HealthKit.
I wonder how accurate the thermostat or the thermometer is, though. That's always the question with these thermometers. A lot of them just aren't very accurate.
Well, I mean, he is making the point that this is good. I mean, he's calling it highly accurate. Who knows? I mean, I 4,000 sensors? I mean, it sounds like...
It's got to be good. 4,000 sensors!
Come on! 4,000 sensors!
What a world we live in. This is amazing.
They're pretty standard now, these wireless ones, aren't they? I mean, I you know, they took my temperature the last time I went to the doctor's office with one of these things, and I don't know if it was accurate or not, but, you know, she was like, oh, everything's normal.
She's like, oh, 57.7. I think you might be dead, Leander. We're going to have to send you to the morgue for tests. I feel fine.
I think the fact they're using it at the clinic, you know, it's a testament of the fact they've got to be accurate, right? Then.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope so. Okay, well, I'll link to all of this stuff in the show notes if you want to check out any of the weird HealthKit gadgets, or you're interested in doing your own colonoscopy with AR kit and this camera probe that Lewis pitched. That seems interesting for sure. So you'll have access to all this stuff in the show notes. Let's go ahead and move on to the final segment of the show. Get to know your cultists. Buster called all my questions lame. Didn't you, Buster? You son of a bee. But I think we're going to have a grand old time. I got 3 questions here for you guys that I think are going to be rather entertaining. The first one, you even admitted, it's a tough question, and it really made you think. In fact, Lewis said it made him think more today than he has in the last 6 years combined. Is that right, Lewis? Is that
what
you
said? I think I said 6 weeks.
6 weeks? Okay. So, let's just dive right into the questions. The first one is, if you could have the career of any actor, who would you choose? Leander? Yours is going to be real weird. What is it? Who's the main actor in Bridge Over the River Kwai? Who's that guy?
That's funny you should mention that, because that was who I was thinking of. William Holden, yeah.
William Holden. Is that the guy you chose?
Well, I love William Holden, and the trouble is he died a poor, broken alcoholic. You know, he fell down some stairs or something, I think.
And, hit a little too close to home.
Ka-ting-cha!
I mean, when he was, like, the William Holden that appeared on screen, I'd go for that for sure. But the William Holden in real life, I'm not so keen on. And then the other one that popped into my head for some, I don't know why, was Toby Jones, I'm sure you've never ever heard of him. He's a British character actor, he's definitely not one of your leading men. He's like he's a sort of small and nebbish looking guy.
Nebbish looking.
He was in that show, The Detectorists, that I talked about before, about the metal detectors.
This guy? This is one of the really? This is the guy you chose?
I don't know. No, I didn't choose him. It was just like when I was thinking about
Toby Jones. People have to Google this. You'll recognize him, but you'll have no idea what his actual name was.
Right, and I don't know why his head pops in. I don't know. He played Capote in one of those Truman Capote movies.
Yeah, okay.
So you can imagine what he looks like, right? He's just not a seaman. I don't know why his head. I don't know why he popped into my head. I was sort of he's so likable, right? He's such a nice. He's especially in The Detectives. Like I just liked him so much, I couldn't really think of anyone. Like I don't know.
That's okay. You already came up with two.
Oh really?
Well, that's plenty. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin was another one.
Oh god.
Well, how do you even go, man?
I don't know. These popped in my head. I wasn't thinking. They just popped in involuntarily. Yeah.
I could see you opposite Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October for sure. This William Holden, he's a dapper young man. Look at that. Look at that butt chin that he's got going on. That's a regular 50s butt chin right there. You don't see those very often. Very good looking.
Yeah, the dimple, yeah.
Okay, let's try to cruise through these because we got two other questions left. Buster, what do you got?
I mean, obviously you have to go with Leonardo DiCaprio, I feel like. You're kidding. I mean, that's the obvious one. One, you're making awesome movies all the time. Leo... I would say you have to go with Leo, Brad Pitt, or Harrison Ford, like one of those three.
Brad Pitt. That actually, okay, I get on board with Brad Pitt. Let's see here.
What, you
Brad
really
Pitt.
Don't like Leo?
I like Leo fine. I just can't think of any movies that he's been in that I would want to have in my repertoire of filmography.
Oh, you know, dude.
Like what films has he done that have really been all that amazing? Like, you really want to be in Titanic that bad?
Or Inception.
Okay, Inception was decent.
Shutter Island. Or
I never saw Shutter Island.
Django Unchained.
Never saw that either.
The new Tarantino movie that him and Brad Pitt are doing. Or I don't know. Leo's had a great career. What are you talking about?
See, I feel like he's had a good career, but like none of his movies are movies I consider to be
classic.
You must see movies.
All right. Well, then if you're going that way, then you have to say Harrison Ford. But I think. Yeah, Leo. Well,
funny you should mention that because Harrison Ford might just be my number one pick. I mean, Harrison Ford, you get to be in Blade Runner, one of the best movies ever made. You get to be Indiana Jones, all three. You get to be in Star Wars plus the new ones. I mean, has anyone had a more prolific career than Indiana Jones than Harrison Ford? And he's still going strong.
Hanks.
He was in the new Blade Runner.
Tom Hanks. Get
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks was great until about 1998.
It matters what you're looking for in like a movie career too. Like, are you looking for like mainstream box office?
No, just
A-list
anything
success.
That you love. Just anything that you love. Yeah, well, they're making films that you love.
Well, I mean, those are all great movies. And yeah, like the Indiana Jones and Star Wars. Plus you got, Jack Ryan movies too with Harrison Ford. So he's been, in a lot of franchises. Or you could say The Rock, I think. Like, dude's having so much fun.
He's having a great time. I mean, most of his movies are terrible. But he's having a better time than most, I think.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, I was also going to say Bruce Willis.
Okay, Bruce Willis would be a good
dude,
one,
he's
too.
He's been in some classics. Mel Gibson, maybe?
No, what are you talking about?
I would be Mel Gibson. Just so I could be in Lethal Weapon with Danny Glover. Just for that movie alone, I would choose Mel Gibson. Man, has there been a better duo than Mel Gibson, Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon? No.
What about Chris...
Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan?
Tucker,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Touche. That's a pretty good one, too. I was also going to say Ryan Gosling because I think he's the next Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
I think he's incredible. I haven't seen him in anything that I haven't liked. Yeah. Even though I always forget his name. Okay, Lewis.
Well, I'm not kidding. I really did find this to be an interesting question. Really got me thinking. I spent so much time thinking. And, you know, first thing I think is, you know, De Niro, Robert De Niro. He's played incredible roles, some of my all-time favorite movies, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas. But then, you know, career fade. What's he been in lately? Bunch of crap. And I thought, Tom Hardy, mumbling and grunting his way to fame and fortune. But, you know, too much working out, you know. How do you get...
That's not a pick I would have thought you would have even gone near. Yeah.
Well, then, of course, I jumped to Woody Allen. Totally creative, basically gets to call his own shots and play himself over and over. I could totally do the nebbish thing. But then, my ultimate pick for... If I'm actually totally honest about what actor I would like to be, Bruce Campbell.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Evil Dead, yeah. Bubba Hotep. Look at his IMDb listing. It's like a laundry list of fun gigs. You can tell he's got industry friends tossing him excellent side work, tons of voice acting in games, which, you know, voice acting, that's got to be the best. Show up, you know, hungover and unkempt. You just blah, 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 blah. And he's got these tiny roles in blockbusters. And then, I don't know if you've seen Ash versus the Evil Dead. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's got hilarious. To be the most fun acting gig on the planet. Bruce Campbell, also Scottish. Love it. I rest my case.
That's a good choice.
How long did you work on this list?
I got up at 7 in the morning. I just started thinking. I haven't done anything else today, Leander. So sorry about the Apple news.
I think we lost Irfan, didn't we?
He was blown away by my pick.
Oh, yeah. Recording's been stopped.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. We're in big trouble.
Where'd he go?
Jesus.
God, dang it.
Well, I'll tell you, keep your quick times going.
So does this mean the show's over?
I guess it is. Well, that's the show we have for you this week. I don't really want to do the last question anyway, do you?
There's two more. Two more.
Oh, my God.
You know what? The other thing about being Bruce Campbell, you can go out to dinner and the normals don't recognize you.
That's true.
Totally awesome.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody.
My internet just took a big dump and completely quit and was like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. So I'm actually tethered through my phone now. So I'm going to finish the show this way. Okay, let's run through these last ones. Leander, this should be a no-brainer. This should be something that you have a big, long list for. Name one thing that really annoys you.
Name one thing that doesn't annoy me.
Give us the big one. What's the one that just makes your blood? Your blood immediately starts boiling.
Okay, so I used to work with a guy here in the office, and he would go get a burrito every day, and he would bring it back to the office to eat it. And he would, and the sound of him unwrapping the foil from the burrito drove me bananas. It got to the point where I put my headphones on, right, and I try to play some music because I'd see him. You know, he'd come in, and I put the headphones on, and I could still hear it through the headphones. And I had to actually leave the office because it was driving me nuts. And I felt too bad. Like I felt like I couldn't say to him, you know, do you think you could eat your burrito at the
taqueria? In your car?
Yeah, outside. So it became like, as soon as he left, I had to leave too. And I would have to stay at the office until he finished. Because it drove me bananas.
Did you ever tell him?
No, I don't think I did. I don't know why. I should have done. But I felt like it was a weird, you know, like it was my problem, not his.
He was just eating a burrito, you know? Yeah, I'd say
that's about accurate. And now I'm totally, totally afraid to ever eat a burrito in the office again.
Lewis is like, wait a second, I eat burrito.
Oh.
Okay, Leander doesn't like it when people eat burritos. Okay, Buster, what do you got?
I was saying I hate it when people like say they're just going to be right back. And then
Oh, really?
Timeliness does annoy me. Yeah,
are you pretty punctual?
Usually, yeah.
So if you say you're gonna be somewhere, you're gonna be there.
Yeah,
I'm the same way.
So when somebody's like 45 minutes late, you're just like, that's like friendship worthy, like ending, like right there. I'm like,
Especially when you're making a Craigslist sale and you like agree on a time, then you show up and the person doesn't get there for like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know what mine is? Slow drivers. You're driving. And the person in front of you is just going slow for no reason at all. And everyone around you is going fast. And you can't switch lanes or it's really hard to switch lanes. And the person in front of you is just taking their sweet time. That takes me from a 1, like I'm very calm, serene, Irfan, to 10. I'm going to ram your car with my car if you don't get out of my way immediately. Because well, I'm getting so enraged, right? Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Step on it. What are you doing?
Right.
I can just feel my blood pressure going up just talking about it. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, yeah, you know, I asked Tracy for Christmas one year like to get me like a giant snowplow to put on the front of my Rover so I could mow those people off the road.
Just push them off the shoulder where they belong.
Right.
God, I need one of those too. Or a bazooka or something. You know, yeah. Just
some kind of blow them off the road.
Let's see here. Lewis, nothing annoys you, huh, Lewis? You're just too good-spirited.
Oh, no. Nothing ever annoys me. I hate weak, flabby language, especially in writing. I'm allergic to be verbs. Can't stand, you know, a ton of extraneous words in every sentence, you know. If you can say it in two words rather than five, do it. Jesus wept. Or, you know, I love the Hemingway style of writing, punchy, straight to the point. You know, I don't know if you ever heard this, but he wrote this famous short story. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. Ever heard that
you
one?
Describe it. Actually, sorry, go ahead. Awesome.
I just, you know, I in general can't stand the sort of wussification of language either, you know, the way that, you know, Apple shared some videos and this behavior is really concerning. I don't like that kind of crap. I like, you know, I like you powerful like verbs, yeah. You know. Also, I hate typos.
Oh, dang.
That's why I work for Cult of Mac. Yeah, woo, yeah, baby!
Exactly. I got so
hence
many typos
the horse
for
whip.
You. Yeah.
Now y'all know why he carries that with him. He's the right guy for the job. You know, hearing you describe it, it makes me annoyed with it too. Like when the language is just too fluffy and there's too much stuff packed in there and they could have just cut it down. Yes. I'm like Johnny Ive with language. You know, cut off as much as you can and make it as simple as possible.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny. We use a WordPress and there's this little plugin that actually you can just click a little tab and it'll point out like, oh, you know, you 47% of your sentences contain be verbs, passive voice. Okay, well, you can fix that up. You know what? It helps you. That. It helps you be a better writer.
Yeah,
pro tip. Go ahead
there.
And
I feel like
exterminate
you're talking
them.
Directly to me now. Are you talking directly to me, or are you still just talking generally? okay. All right. Let's move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. This is the last question, and then we're going to wrap it up. What's something about you that people would be surprised to know, Buster?
Oh, I'll give you one that Erfan learned the other week. I grew up in Roswell, New Mexico.
Capital. I don't think we explained this. It's like alien. The capital of like alien abductions and sightings.
Yeah, there was, you know, a famous alien crash landing that happened there in the late 1940s. And every year there's a big alien UFO festival. The downtown McDonald's is in the shape of a UFO. The street lights are alien heads. It's an interesting place.
I gotta go there. Have you been to the little alien?
No.
It's apparently a bar where all these people hang out, or maybe a restaurant. I don't know. I've never been there. I've always wanted to go to Roswell. I'm fascinated with all that stuff.
It's in the middle of nowhere on the plane, and there's nothing around and really nothing to do in Roswell, but...
Well, there's Area 50, what is it, 3, 54?
That's in
Nevada. Well, everybody always thinks Area 51 is in Roswell, but that's supposed to be in
Nevada, right?
Nevada, yeah.
That's supposed to be. But yeah. Definitely there, is.
Yeah.
Like, there cannot confirm or deny.
It's
there
near
used to
Vegas.
Be like a big U.S. airbase in Roswell, but that got closed in, I think, the 60s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there's nothing there now? Nothing?
Yeah, not that much. I mean, it's a town of like 40,000 people.
40,000, that's pretty... I mean,
it's decent sized. Yeah. I think it's like culture. The fourth or fifth biggest town in New Mexico.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know you grew up in New Mexico, let alone in Roswell. Yeah. That's interesting. I definitely want to go there too, Lewis. We should go.
Awesome. Road trip. Cult cast remote.
Well, let's go to the festival.
Definitely. I want
to
get beamed up.
I'm probed.
Oh. Yeah,
well, no. Well,
health kit compatible.
Know, it's a pet. Yeah, is it home kit enabled? We'll see. Okay. I'll go next. So something that people would probably be surprised to learn about me is I could probably be a professional whistler. I think those guys in like Disney movies who do like the whistling like Mary Poppins, I could be that guy. It's weird. My dad is one of the best whistlers I've ever met. And somehow I picked up this ability and I whistle constantly. Like whenever I go into a parking garage, I always whistle Winds of Change by the Scorpions. you know, as loud as I possibly can, because you get that echo effect. And I was thinking, like, if I could just work on my range a little bit, because, you know, the guys who are professional whistlers, they have skill, they can whistle on pitch, but they also have to have a really broad range. And I have a hard time in the upper register, like going really, really high. It's probably because my lips are so moist and supple and large, you know, and kissable. And they have like these little skinny bony lips. But that's another story for another time. So if I worked on my register and I got my pitch to be higher, I could probably go pro and leave this show in the dust and go work for Mickey Mouse or something.
Why aren't you doing a whistling podcast?
Do you think people would be interested in a whistle now?
Oh, come on, man. You got to give us an example.
Yeah, you want me to do some scorpions? Yeah.
Do it.
Okay, I don't know if this mic will work, but I'll give this my best. It's hard to do because when I'm whistling on command, you want to laugh, right? So I'm going to do a little, let me wet my whistle, and I'll do a little scorpions. Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't even whistle.
Hold on, I got one more for you. Got one more for you. Hold on, let me wet it again.
Star Trek.
So you
how you like that?
Wow, that is impressive.
Are you impressed?
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going pro. I should start my own YouTube channel.
It's funny, you use the term professional whistlers as if that's a thing.
It is a thing. There are guys that go pro and they do it for a living. Can you believe it?
Barely.
All they do is whistle. You know, it's like, you know how many Disney movies are out there that need whistling? Like all of them. Every single song has like a whistling track on it. At least they used to. Not as much work for us professional whistlers anymore. All right, who's going next? Leander.
Well, I can't follow that, unfortunately. But okay, so something
I should save that for last.
Might be surprised to learn is that the last computer I bought was a Windows PC.
What? Heretic! Where's
the hang up button? This is Leander's last show with us. What did you get? What did you get, Leander?
Well, it's actually a tablet, one of the a Microsoft Surface tablet.
Yeah, how do you like it?
I hate it. And that's already been driving me nuts.
Okay.
I got it because I had this one piece of Windows software I got to run for my bike. It's by Shimano called the E-Tube.
And you bought a PC just to run an app for your bike. This is how serious Leander is about bicycling.
Good God.
And because it was cheap too, you know, like I thought about putting Boot Camp onto an old MacBook I have lying around.
Yeah.
And putting Windows on it, but you know, by the time you buy a Windows license, and futz around with it, I thought, well, you know, why don't I just buy a cheap Windows tablet? And I did some preliminary research, and somehow convinced myself that this software would run on this tablet. But of course, as soon as I got it, I found out that it's completely incompatible.
Windows
RT or something, which I'd never heard of.
What?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know, what the heck? and I thought, you know, and I felt like a complete chump and idiot. So this thing's completely useless. It was $100, you know, like used.
Oh, okay. So you're not out that much.
No. And then, of course, you know, the minute I fired it up, it went through about 8 different updates. You can't use this thing at all, and it's really kind of like slow and befuddling, and the interface is completely and utterly alien to me. You know, like I really cannot. It doesn't come naturally. You know, how to do quick, simple stuff. But the lesson of it, though, for me was like, you know, how could I be such an idiot? You know, like how could I have made such a basic mistake?
No comment.
Right. I know. Well, you know, it just goes to show, I think, doesn't it? You know, like all the stuff, you know, we know about Apple tech and take a break, you know, like, and if someone asks you like a dumb question, like, you know, will that run on that thing? And you roll your eyes. Well, of course it will. You know, but like as soon as you go to the other side, you're a babe in the woods. You're completely clueless.
That's interesting. Especially Windows RT is not a normal flavor of Windows. So there's an extra layer of complication there.
Well, I had no idea. You know, like it probably said on the listings, I didn't go back and check, but it probably said on the listings Windows RT, but I didn't see the RT. I just saw Windows.
That's why he was selling it for $100. He's like, yes, he sold it. It's like he got rid of Jumanji. He was so excited. He's like, I finally got rid of this thing.
Right.
Okay, Lewis, take us home.
Yeah, short and sweet. You know, I think the thing that, you know, the people that just run into me would be surprised is that I play bass guitar in an accordion rock band.
I didn't even know that.
You know, okay, so it sounds impossible, right? Accordion rock band.
It sounds like you just made that up.
Yeah, well, I've been in this band for almost 30 years now. It's a band
called...
Those Darn Accordions. I started playing with this band in the early 90s. Been traveling all over the country, playing all kinds of venues, from big festivals to tiny, dirty, nasty little punk rock clubs. You know, we've slowed down a lot. You know, we're getting kind of older, but we've recorded like 6-7 records over that time. And
what?
It's just
are you on Spotify?
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
Those darn accordions.
I can't believe you're not on there listening to it every day. I'm going to
be listening. That's the next thing going on in the home pod. Those darn accordions.
Fantastic. And by the way, next time we do a record, I'm going to need a whistler.
Dude, you find me out there, pro bono. I'll whistle for your pro bono.
Awesome, man!
It'll
we
be
are
the
going
most
to...
delightful, angelic whistling that's ever gone on an album.
It was very impressive.
Yeah, well, that was me doing it unprepared too. If I warm up my embouchure, I'm even better.
Oh, God. Well,
that was just on the fly.
And Lewis is sort of, you know, they were a big band when I first moved to San Francisco, like in the mid '90s. They were one of the biggest bands in the town at the time.
You're kidding?
And came real close to like mainstream breakthrough, mainstream success, right, Lewis?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a push, right? A accordion rock band, but you know, we've had some brushes with fame. We played on the American Music Awards one year. We did this medley of like I don't know 17. I think it was a 17th. Anniversary, so it was a medley of 17 top songs. You know, it was we had Drew Carey was the host, and he's on one of our records. We kind of know him, and he had us on there to do this crazy medley of all these hits. And we had Weird Al Yankovic was on there with us, and this guy named Dick Contino, who was a famous accordion player from like the 50s. I mean, he was like gonna be like, okay, this is. History of the accordion. It was a big deal back in the day, but then the Beatles happened. Oh. Suddenly rock and roll, and, you know, whoops. But back in the day, there were guys carrying accordions around, selling accordions door to door, having accordion lessons were a big thing. I mean, it's kind of a cool instrument. I mean, it's got a square image, or it developed a square image over time after the Beatles came along, but it's a pretty fun and kind of versatile instrument. Our band, we've had many different incarnations and many different people. At one point, we had like 10 accordions, bass, and drums. That's what it was when I started. Now it's
10 accordions?
Like, yeah, oh yeah. It was like, I remember at rehearsals when I first started, I'd be surrounded by accordion players. And so they're reed instruments, right? So, and it's like a giant harmonica or five giant harmonicas, right? And air's going through that. The way they work is they're like giant harmonicas with the air gets shoved through these reeds, and there's a little flap of leather with a little piece of metal on the end of it, and depending on just exactly how big the hole is in the metal, that's how the thing's tuned. So that's how you tune one. You got to go in there and like shave off little tiny slivers of metal. So it's not like playing a normal instrument where you just say, okay, everybody tune up. There is no tuning in accordion. You know, you pay somebody $300 and they tune it, and maybe they get it right and maybe they don't. And anyway, I'm standing there surrounded by this, and it was like being on it was totally disconcerting. Everything's slightly out of tune, and it's swirling around you. It was like being on a merry-go-round. But over the years, we've changed a lot, you know, and different people in the band run their accordions. Actually, everybody now runs their accordions through guitar amps and effects and things. My wife plays. She has all these crazy effects she runs her accordion through. And so, we were able to get some pretty... I think it sounds pretty cool. I mean, it's definitely a struggle sometimes, you know, because it's not the easiest instrument in the world to play. It takes some talent. Luckily, I just have to play bass guitar. Doing, 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 doing.
Hey, can I admit something to you?
What?
I used to play the accordion.
No way!
I used to take lessons.
I had this
ancient teacher. Ancient. He must have been like 90 when I was taking lessons from him. This is when I was a kid. He used to call me Ephra. Efren. Efren. He used to call me Efren. Efren, did you practice this week, Efren? And I never did because I hated the instrument. My mom wanted me to play it, though. And I actually got pretty darn good, if I do say so myself. I haven't played in years, though. So don't ask me to play anything. But I still have my accordion. It's got abalone pearl inlays.
Oh, they're beautiful instruments, aren't they?
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Beautiful. They're really one of the dorkiest things you could possibly hold in your hands, though, I have to admit. I can't think of anything else that is lamer than an accordion to the opposite sex. It's like you're holding an accordion. She's like, nope, pass, pass. All right, well, that was illuminating for sure. We got to check out Lewis's band on Spotify. Them, is it Damn or Darn?
Those Damn.
What's the top song you guys got?
I think that the biggest crowd pleaser we've ever had was a song called Them Hippies Was Right.
Them Hippies Was Right.
It's kind of a hip hop tune.
Start with them, okay?
Almost.
Oh, it's hip hop.
Not really hip hop. It's you know, it's got a kind of a hip hop beat.
Okay. Then Hippies Were Right on Spotify. We couldn't find a better note to wrap up on there, so let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the stories we talked about in today's show, we're on Twitter. I'm at AirFunBusters, BST3R Leanders, at LCaney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the cult cast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the cult cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you take this one.
Next time.
Oh, man. That was so good. Yeah, it was exciting. Yo.
Hey. Wow, what's up?
Did you get your car situation figured out?
No, I'm just going to wait till I get back from Hawaii to do all that.
You're going to Hawaii?
Yeah.
For how long?
I'm leaving tomorrow and then coming back a week from Tuesday.
Are you just going on vacation?
Yeah.
Dude, you're so lucky. Did you get any Hawaiian shirts that you're going to wear?
No, I forgot. Everybody said we should buy obnoxious Hawaiian shirts before we go. But
buy them there.
I'll have to get
them. They're super cheap.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, go to there's a, I don't know what island you're going to, but when I was there was a Marshalls or something like that. Yeah, and they got tons of cool ones.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
If I were you, I'd have that Hawaiian shirt on, and I would just leave it unbuttoned the entire trip.
Oh, I got to work on my tan, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, but only on the front half, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to wear a Speedo?
No.
Do you even own a Speedo?
No.
That's a crying shame, because I can see it in my mind. Half fully unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt, draped loosely over a Speedo. Woo!
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Girl, that'd be a good look.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I definitely don't.